Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
And as always, on this Monday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We recap everything from a very busy Sunday, week 6 in the National Football League. Monday Night Football had a doubleheader, and we are putting a close to week 6 of the National Football League. Chiefs did take down the Bills by 9, and so far, I thought this game was going to have a lot of points. So far, there's not a lot of points. It's actually a stalemate, a scoreless affair, 0-0 between the Cowboys and the Cardinals in the early stages of the second quarter. All right, let's get to yesterday, and we start in Minnesota, where the Vikings are cold, like Minnesota, as the Atlanta Falcons got a victory 40-23. Atlanta gets their first victory on the season. They're now 1-5, and to no surprise, it comes in their first game without Dan Quinn. Matt Ryan, 30 of 40, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Julio Jones, not one but 2 touchdowns, goes 8 for 137. And here was one of those touchdowns. This one came in the third quarter. It's a 40-yard reception for a TD. This courtesy of Falcons Radio.
Gurley's the back. Minnesota bringing 4. Ryan stepping up. Matt thought about it, now gives ground, going to flip it down the field. It's caught, Jones. Julio, 10-5, touchdown Atlanta. Amazing. Ryan looked like he was going to tuck and run and backed up 3 yards and softly flipped it to Jones for the touchdown.
Their next coach, I'll be curious who they bring in. I said maybe Todd Bowles earlier, maybe they go defensive mind and bring in a young, sharp offensive coordinator. They could go offensive mind, though, and then bring in a veteran, savvy defensive coordinator. You know, the offensive coordinators that could get jobs this upcoming year, Eric Bieniemy, Brian Daboll with the Bills, Arthur Smith with the Tennessee Titans. Those are some names to watch, and you never know who else will emerge in this crazy coaching carousel. So the Vikings, congratulations. You finally got a W. If you're a sports fan, though, that roots for the teams in the Atlanta area, in the Georgia area. Yikes. Hey, the Braves. They blew a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers, not going to the World Series. The Falcons, we know they're synonymous with choking, and even the Georgia football team a few years ago blew that national championship game. And then on Saturday, had a lead up against Alabama, and then Jalen Waddle did his thing, and Stenson Bennett threw 2 interceptions. But we're not here to talk about college. We're not here to talk about the World Series right now. We're here to talk about the National Football League. Falcons get their first W. The Vikings, they fall to 1-5. Kirk Cousins was miserable early on. I know he finished the game with 3 touchdowns, but he also had 3 interceptions. And they had no Dalvin Cook, and that's a big-time problem. Dalvin Cook is the MVP of that team, and not having him was a big loss. The lone positive with Minnesota so far this season, Justin Jefferson, he continues to be a stud out of LSU, the rookie wide receiver. 9 receptions yesterday, a 166, and 2 touchdowns. Now on the season, 28 receptions, 537 yards, and 3 receiving touchdowns. Next game, we go to the Bengals and the Indianapolis Colts. Cincinnati surprising a lot of people early. They were up 21-0. Colts do storm back. Phillip Rivers ends his day with 371 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Marcus Johnson led the way for Colts wide receivers, 5 receptions for 108 yards. Bengals, they had the ball late, trying to go win the game. Could this be a big signature moment early on in the career of Joe Burrow? Well, he threw the ball, except it went to the other team. Here's the game-winning interception by the Indianapolis Colts, Julian Blackman. This courtesy of Colts Radio.
Burrow is out of the shotgun.
Here they come.
He's going to back to throw. Steps into the pocket. Locked it over the middle. Intercepted by the Colts, Julian Blackman. And he's tripped up at the 22-yard line. He's down there. And the Colts have a takeaway. An interception by the rookie, Julian Blackman. 39 seconds to go. And the Colts are going to win the ball game.
So an up-and-down game for the Indianapolis Colts. All that matters is that they walk away with the victory. They're now 4-2 on the year. The Colts will have a bye this week, and then they will get set to take on the Detroit Lions before they go through a 3-game or a 4-game stretch that features the Ravens, Tennessee, the Packers, and Tennessee again. So you better get to 5-2 and take care of the Lions in 2 weeks. Next up, we continue to move along here. This is one of the crazier games on Sunday. Titans win 42-36 in overtime. Here was the big play. Brandon Cooks gets a touchdown, puts the Houston Texans up by 7. So they're up by 7. Romeo Crennel, the interim head coach, he goes for 2 to try to end the game and put them up by 9 with a little under 2 minutes to go. I would have kicked the extra point. I thought that in the moment. He doesn't. They don't get it. Tannehill takes the team down the field in under 2 minutes, gets a touchdown, kicks the extra point. Game goes into overtime. And in overtime, Derrick Henry, well, he had himself a day. 212 yards rushing the football, 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 receptions for 52 yards. Here is the final 5 yards for Derrick Henry, which got the victory to Tennessee and made them 5-0.
Tannehill is wide to the left. Henry is in the gun.
Okay.
It's the King Cat. Henry running to the left, into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Yo! Titans win 42-36.
Titans get a victory. They're now 5-0. They play the 5-0 Steelers next week in Tennessee. We gave you the stats on Derrick Henry. Let's not sell Ryan Tannehill short, please. As LeBron would say, he deserves his damn respect too, whatever LeBron said after defeating the Miami Heat in the championship. Tannehill, 30 of 41, 364 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a pick. According to Field Yates, Ryan Tannehill has now started 15 regular season games for the Titans, 309 of 443, completing 69.8% of his passes, 3,966 passing yards, 35 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions with 258 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. Tennessee, 12-3 in those games. And one more nugget for you on Ryan Tannehill. According to ESPN, Ryan Tannehill, 13 passing touchdowns this year. That's the most by an Oilers Titans QB through 5 games since 1992. Look at what Ryan Tannehill is doing. Tennessee, party. You're 5-0. We'll see if you can take down the Steelers at the end of this week. Next up, we go to Philadelphia, where even in a pandemic, where I think they allowed like 7,000 fans in, I saw Eagles fans and Ravens fans fighting in the upper deck 300, 400 section. Now, that does not reflect all Philadelphia fans, because I used to live in Philadelphia. There's a lot of passionate and smart football fans. But can you imagine, the guy that got in a fight looked like he was 25. Let's just say he still lives with his mother. Can you imagine if that guy gets sent to prison and he uses his bail call? Hey, Mom, I got arrested. I got into a fight at the Eagles game in the middle of a pandemic when there's only 7,000 people there. If that was my kid, I would say, you know what, spend the night in the slammer. I'm not bailing you out. Or I would maybe say, call your father or call someone else. So Eagles in this game, they lose 30-28. Here's where I look at this game. And this is why I don't want to say I'm concerned about the Ravens, but we haven't seen the Ravens play their best football yet. The Ravens were up 22-6. They were cruising. And then in the fourth quarter, this was an Eagles team that showed up. So you go from a 24-6 game to then almost seeing this game go into overtime. Because the Eagles did score a touchdown, and then they ran this run-pass option play that Doug Peterson loves, except it got blown up by Matthew Judon and the Ravens' defense, so they don't get the two-point conversion. Ravens are going to hit the bye. Then they have the Steelers in Baltimore in Week 8. But we'll give you a Lamar Jackson rushing touchdown right here, courtesy of Ravens Radio, this 37 yards to the house.
See what Greg Roman calls in here on third down and three from the Philadelphia 37. Eagles with a four-man front. Jackson will keep it on the read option. Big hole up the middle. 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens. Lamar Jackson right up the middle.
That's Jerry Sandusky, courtesy of the Ravens Radio Network. So once again, Ravens win 30-28. They're 5-1 as they hit the bye. But Baltimore, I just don't have a good pulse on them. And I know it's tough for Baltimore to impress you this year because they failed to do so up against the Kansas City Chiefs. They have two opportunities to play the Steelers still, or maybe they can impress some. This is a team that had high hopes going into this year. This team that could still make the Super Bowl, but they got to play cleaner football, and they haven't been doing that. You're up 24-6, and then you get outscored 22-6 in the fourth, and you almost have this game go to overtime. It just should not have gotten to that point, and it did yesterday. And luckily, the Ravens came up big when it mattered on defense. Next up, we take a look to the Bears and the Panthers. Bears get the victory 23-16. Panthers had the ball late. I was right on my couch watching this one. All right, let's go see if the Panthers can go force this game into overtime. And here was the first play of that drive, Teddy Bridgewater. He found someone, but it was a guy wearing colors for the Chicago Bears, DeAndre Houston Carson. This is courtesy of Bears Radio.
Teddy Bridgewater with eight on the play clock in a minute. 32 to go in the game. Snap is back. Here comes pressure up the middle. He throws, and it is intercepted. DeAndre Houston Carson. Are you kidding me? 2 weeks in a row, he's come up with a big play, and he threw it right to DHC. Wow.
So disappointing day for Carolina as they were trying to pull off the upset. Or actually, no, the Bears were the underdog here. Even though the Bears are 4-1, Carolina did go into this game 3-2. Matt Rhule's three-game winning streak does come to a close. Now they lose that game yesterday. So for the Bears, here's what's next up at 5-1. Rams on Monday Night Football next week. Then you got the Saints, that game in Chicago, and then you're in Tennessee. We'll see what the Bears do the next 3 weeks, but what a start. They're 5-1. Panthers, they could have a two-game losing streak coming. At 3-3 right now, they have the Saints in New Orleans next week. Here was the surprise. The Broncos didn't score a touchdown yesterday, and they still beat the Patriots. Brandon McManus, 18, with 6 field goals. Patriots, 12. The Pats almost got back in this game and almost won this game. They had 2 fourth-quarter interceptions on Drew Lock, who was making his return, J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones, respectively. But Cam Newton could not connect with N'Keal Harry late as the Patriots were driving. Patriots fall to 2-3. They get the 49ers on Sunday. The Broncos, they're 2-3. They probably are 2-4 at the end of this week as they do play the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's hear from Drew Lock. He's back, and he's confident with the Denver Broncos.
We knew we could be a really good team. We just got to keep putting these pieces together and keep rolling. We're playing a really, really good team next week. It's going to be a big test for us to see who we are, see if we're mentally tough, physically tough enough to come in there and, you know, try to get a win. But, you know, I truly feel like we're an extremely good team. We just got to put both sides of the ball together, all three actually, special teams, offense, and defense.
So you were a good team entering the season on paper. Then you got hurt, and Drew Lock is still an unknown. Cortland Sutton is now done for the year. Melvin Gordon got the DUI, and now he has strep throat. You finally got Phillip Lindsay back. He had over 100 yards yesterday. And defensively, you're missing Von Miller, who's your best defensive player. There's talent there. I just don't think the consistency is there. I don't like Vic Fangio as a head coach, and I definitely do not like Pat Shurmur as an offensive coordinator. Can Noah Fant return next week for the Broncos? We shall see. You got a game up against the Chiefs where I don't think your offense is going to be able to compete, but they did get a big victory yesterday. But the big takeaway here for me, Pat's offense. Cam throwing the football yesterday, it was terrible. A lot of early praise for Cam in the beginning of the season. Now we'll see how he does bounce back, as that's a football team that is below 500. And usually 6 weeks into the season, we never see the Patriots in that territory. So for week 7, 49ers got some life. They beat the Rams last night. can the Pats beat the 49ers in Foxborough? So we go from the Broncos thinking they're a good football team to Washington, who we know is a bad football team, and the Giants, who we know are a bad football team. Giants get their first W of the Joe Judge era, 20-19. Ron Rivera, he tells you 2 weeks ago, I'm starting Kyle Allen over Dwayne Haskins, I'm trying to win the NFC East. If you're really trying to win the NFC East, are you going for two yesterday, or you're playing it safe and going to overtime? No, I think you know you have a bad football team, and when you have a bad football team, you do things that are unconventional. That's what Ron Rivera did yesterday. It was 20-19. Could have kicked the extra point and gone to overtime. He elected not to do that. Here is the final play where the Giants make a defensive stand. This courtesy of Giants Radio.
Washington going for two with 36 seconds to take the lead. Allen calls out signals. Takes the snap. He's back. He's flushed to his left. He's running. Looking to run. Now stops. Now under pressure. And he just throws it in the end zone. Incomplete. So the Giants stop him on the two-pointer.
That play, I was watching it. Kyle Allen rolls to his left. He thinks he's about to go get a touchdown. And then he sees the safety. It may have been Jabril Peppers. I forget who the safety was. And just when he's about to take off, he goes, yeah, I can't outrun that guy. And throws the ball up in the air. And it had zero shot of getting completed. Next up, this was supposed to be one of the games of the week. Browns, they were ugly. They were stinky. Steelers, they were impressive. Big Ben only needed 166 passing yards to get the victory. James Conner only 101 yards on the ground, which is a good production day for the running back in James Conner. The Steelers' defense was the story. Four sacks, nine tackles for loss, eight QB hits on Baker Mayfield. They picked off Mayfield two times. Mayfield got benched in the third quarter. And the Browns, who when they win games, it's running the football first, only had 75 rushing yards on Sunday. Steelers' victory did come at a big price, though. They lose Devin Bush for the season, which could be problematic with their next two games up against Tennessee and the Ravens, who love to run the football. Minkah Fitzpatrick has had an up-and-down year. I think he's a tremendous safety, and he sent an early message in this game as he picked off Baker Mayfield.
Browns trail 3-0, third and three from their 28. Mayfield shotgun snap, throws over the middle, intercepted. It is Minkah Fitzpatrick, 25, 20, 15, 10, touchdown, Minkah. People have been asking, where's Minkah Fitzpatrick? Baker Mayfield just found out.
Yep, Baker Mayfield did find out, and we found this out about the Browns. They're a team that should be a playoff team. I think they will be a playoff team. But they are not a team that will beat elite competition. We saw the Browns inside that division get smacked by the Steelers yesterday. Week one, get smacked by the Ravens. Yeah, they won four in a row. Yeah, they had a nice victory up against the Colts. But when you look at this Browns team, they're just not going to be a team that beats the elite teams. You know, they're not beating Kansas City. They're not beating, let's say, the Seattle Seahawks. And even in their own division, you know, they'll get another opportunity at Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Can we see if they could even show up in the game? Can it be a one-score game going into the fourth? Because so far, this Browns team, they don't fare well up against the elite competition. They see the Ravens again on December 14th. They see the Steelers again last game of the season on 1-3. But I still think the Browns are going to make the playoffs. Because look at their next stretch of games. Bengals, Raiders, Texans, Eagles, Jaguars. You win three out of those five games, you're going to be sitting there with a 7-4 record. And you still have to play the Jets and the Giants, so that should be two more victories. That's nine wins right there. 9-10 wins, going to get you the seventh seed, you would think, in the AFC at a bare minimum. That audio courtesy of Steelers Radio. Next up, Lions, second win of the year, 34-16. They pummel the Jaguars. DeAndre Swift, who had that drop in week one up against the Bears. This time running the football, 14 carries, 116 yards, two touchdowns, and in a 17-3 game. It's almost as if the Detroit Lions said, Zach Gelb has TJ Hockenson on his fantasy team. So on fourth and goal at the one, we're going to throw it to TJ Hockenson. Here's the touchdown.
Stafford out of the gun. Leaning in. There's the snap. Matthew wants to throw. Does. End zone. Caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. TJ Hockenson. And the Lions add to their lead.
So you go from one game that basically nobody cares about to another game that nobody cares about. Dolphins 24. Jets Zero. Yeah. Ugly, ugly, ugly for the JTS Jets, who are 0-6. The Dolphins, they are 3-3. They're playing just like they did last year, better than what their competition or better what their talent says on that roster. Late in the fourth, Tua Tagovailoa got into the game. Here is Tua Tagovailoa, and it was cool seeing Ryan Fitzpatrick celebrating all that when Tua comes in. The crowd chanting, Tua, Tua, Tua. Here's Tua Tagovailoa talking about getting in the game. And this is the technical difficulty portion of our program where the audio player does freeze. Don't you love that? So do we not have Tua here? Do we have anyone else for this segment, which the audio is essential? You got to love this. This is my worst nightmare where the audio just freezes. So we're done here. Oh, we're done with the audio? The audio is not working here. Shep, a little communication would be good here. Do we have any audio?
We are going to go to the other computer to get that audio.
Well, let's do this. Since it's 19 past the hour, we're having some audio problems. We'll come on back. We'll play a little Tua. You will hear from the Bucks-Packers game, and we will also squeeze in the 49ers and Rams. We're a well-oiled machine. Right now, this segment, we're like the Jets, where things just crash and burn and die. That's like the Jets football in the year of 2020. But Adam Gase is still the coach. It's the Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will continue No Huddle Offense on the other side.
He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. I'm glad you're still here after that disaster at the end of last segment as we continue the No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Want to know what is really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up late at night. So switch to Geico and save. All right. So recapping so far, we've gone through the Falcons taking care of the Vikings 40-23, Colts beating up the Bengals 31-27, Titans crazy game back and forth in overtime 42-36 over the Texans, Ravens getting it done against the Eagles 30-28, Bears going a 5-1 against the Panthers 23-16, Broncos, or I should say Brandon McManus 18, Patriots 12, Giants 20, Washington 19, Steelers 38, Browns 7, Lions 34, Jaguars 16. Those are the nine games we already gave you. We gave you audio. We gave you big plays. We gave you highlights. We gave you statistics. Now we pick things up with a game that, oh my goodness gracious, everyone was waiting to watch it. It was the game in the 4 o'clock window that you desperately wanted to see. No, not Packers and Bucks. The Jets and the Dolphins, right? Yeah, this game was terrible. The Dolphins going into this game were 2-3. They were 9.5-point favorite against the Jets. Shows you how bad the Jets are. Jets got blank. Dolphins won 24-0. So, really the takeaway here, and it's not Tua time yet. They're going to continue to roll with Ryan Fitzmagic Fitzpatrick. But Tua Tagovailoa did get in for one series. This is Tua talking about his first NFL game action.
It wasn't more so butterflies. It was just excitement to just get out there and, you know, see what plays that Chan would give me to run with the offense. But it was really fun.
I would love to see Tua start consistently here. I know they're not going to pull Fitzpatrick yet. You know, maybe he has to play two bad games in a row. Their next two games are off this week. Then they got the Rams and the Cardinals. I want to start seeing this kid play. But when you're 3-3 and they all love Fitzpatrick as they do, they're not going to pull him just yet. It's going to have to get ugly before you start to pull Fitzpatrick and put in Tua Tagovailoa. Tua threw the football twice, two short passes, 9 total yards. Fitzpatrick's totals in the game, 18-27, 191, 3 touchdowns and 2 picks. Miles Gaskin led the team in rushing with 91 yards and was the leading rusher when you look at Jets and Dolphins players. And Joe Flacco, what do you think Joe Flacco's thinking? He's probably saying, can I just collect my paycheck in peace? Can we get Sam Darnold back? Joe Flacco, 21-44. No touchdowns and a pick in this game. And Frank Gore, he got 11 carries for 46 yards. But my oh my. Dolphins, 3-3. Jets, they stink. Tanking for Trevor Lawrence. Next up, Bucks 38. Packers 10. The Packers took a 10-0 lead. And when the Packers took a 10-0 lead, you started to think, uh-oh, the Bucs are in trouble. Bucs are going to lose two in a row. Well, then Aaron Rodgers showed that he was human. He threw a pick six and then threw a pick that got down to the two. The Bucs would go on to score 38 unanswered. The biggest takeaway for the Bucs, though, it was their defense. We talked about the two interceptions. Defense was great. Five sacks, eight tackles for loss, 13 quarterback hits. And they also held Aaron Rodgers to 160 yards. Rob Gronkowski, he woke up. He finally produced for the Bucs. Brady threw two touchdowns. One of them was to Tyler Johnson, the rookie out of Minnesota. The other was to Rob Gronkowski. Here's the touchdown. This courtesy of Gene Dekeroff on Bucs Radio.
Here's the snap on third and six. Lob pass toward the end zone. Gronkowski, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. What a great grab by Gronk. Holy Gronkamole. The Bucs score a touchdown with a minute two to go.
I kind of like that. Holy Gronkamole. Let me give you a few stats on this game. Jeff Darlington. Just how good is Tampa Bay's defense playing right now? The Bucs are only the second team in the last 20 seasons to have 10-plus takeaways, 20-plus sacks, and allow fewer than 70 rushing yards per game in their first six games. The only other team to do so, the 2008 Super Bowl-winning Pittsburgh Steelers. Largest wins versus a 4-0 or better opponent since the NFL merger in 1970. Bucs in 2000, 41-13 against Minnesota, and then yesterday, 38-10 against Green Bay. And then Rick Stroud did chime in. Aaron Rodgers had not thrown an INT this year, and now with two and three attempts, safety Mike Edwards, who just came into the game for an injured Antoine Winfield, picks it off and returns to the two. Ronald Jones scored on a two-yard run. Rodgers, well, going into this game, had not thrown an interception in 157 passing attempts. Tampa Bay, 4-2. Packers, first loss on the year. They're now 4-1 through the first 6 weeks of the 2020 football season. And then finally, as we have the extended version of the no-huddle offense because of the technical difficulties in the earlier part of this hour, 49ers, they got destroyed last week against the Dolphins, and it looked ugly, and it looked like their season was about to be over, and they were going to fall to 2-4. But then this is what happens whenever you think a team is definitely going to win and the other team is definitely going to lose. Even with all the injuries the 49ers have, they showed up. They got out to a good start, opening drive, touchdown. And then on fourth down early in the game, Jimmy Garoppolo playing on a bum ankle, he found George Kittle on fourth down for a 44-yard touchdown pass. This courtesy of Greg Papa on the 49ers radio network.
Three receivers left and Kittle right. They throw over the middle. It is caught by George Kittle. He'll race for a touchdown. 10-5, touchdown! San Francisco! 4th-and-2, Kittle over the middle!
When you look back at that game, three things stand out. The start for the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan's coaching, and then also just the dominance of the best tight end in football in Greg Kittle. And when I look at it from a Rams side of things, yeah, they're well coached by Sean McVay. However, in close games with Jared Goff or where you're trailing with Jared Goff, he doesn't get you back in the game. He doesn't go win you the game up against what is a good opponent. And San Francisco, yes, they're banged up, but they're still a good opponent. They could have been 2-4 after this one. Now they're 3-3, and their season saved. Still got a tough gauntlet, still got a tough stretch. We'll see if they can pull out of it and get to the playoffs. I'm still not optimistic about it, but they showed us a lot yesterday. On the other side, Jared Goff, yeah, the Rams are 4-2. Yeah, the Rams will still make the playoffs, you would think. But Goff is just not an elite quarterback. He isn't. And to see what he did yesterday, he was off the mark with so many of those footballs, and they were momentum killers when they were getting close and trying to go back into the game, and he threw a terrible interception as well. So that's no huddle offense. A little bit wacky today because we had some of the audio difficulties, but we survive and we advance here. It's like the NCAA tournament on the Zach Gelb Show. And you know what? I basically kind of compare myself to a VCU or Loyola Chicago, the team that there's not really having greatness expected out of them and out of nowhere, even like a George Mason in the Jim Larranaga days where they find a way to just get the job done, or Baylor, or a Butler, excuse me, the first time they got to the national championship game where they lost to Duke in those back-to-back years. They lost to Duke and then they lost to UConn. You remember it was John Shire. You remember that game, Shep? John Shire had that half-court shot. Jim Nantz and I think it's Clark Kellogg and, ooh, onions, Bill Raftery sitting courtside, thought it was going in, and it goes in and out. Gordon Hayward, sorry. John Shire was the Duke guard, who's now the assistant coach on Duke. But Gordon Hayward shot the ball, and John Shire, I remember him jumping up and down afterwards because he couldn't believe it because even he thought it was going in. So there you go. That's like me. I'm the Cinderella story that just keeps finding a way to get jobs in this business at a young age. And even when we get hit with some adversity, we find a way to muscle through, but then we're going to lose in the championship game. All right, real quickly. You don't agree with that assessment?
Why are we losing the championship game? I don't get that.
How do you win the championship game in this business?
You thrive. You go through adversity. You look, trials and tribulation in the eye, and you say it's the last man standing or the last woman standing, and that you are.
Okay. That's good. That's why you're a teacher. You're a good motivational speaker as well, Dave Shepard. I'll tell you, we're performing much better than the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are down 21-0. 21-0. Ugh. Yeah.
And only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Think they missed Dak Prescott? How many idiots in the offseason?
Oh, yeah, Andy Dalton! He could take over the job for Dak Prescott!
Oh, come on. I thought the Cowboys were going to win tonight. And this would be a high-scoring affair where neither defenses could stop anyone. And then Andy Dalton would have the ball last and win the game by 7 points. How many people, though, did I hear this offseason? Oh, yeah. Dak's going to lose his job to Andy Dalton. I was like, huh? Really? Like, Dak to me is not a great quarterback, but he's a very good quarterback. I bet you if Dak is on the field in this game, which ESPN must be so upset. Yeah, it's the Cowboys. They'll do a mega number. You have Dak, Kyler Murray. Instead, you get Kyler Murray, Andy Dalton. Oy. Oy, oy, oy. And now this game's a blowout. You better score here if you're Dallas. If you don't, oy, could get ugly very quickly. Let me give you an update on the poll question. If it's not Seattle, who represents the NFC in the Super Bowl? 36.8% say the Bucks, 34.2% say the Packers, 21.9% say other, and then 7% say the Saints. I'll give you my answer on the other side. We'll also ring the closing bell to end the show out in style. First up, though, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we get to Marco Belletti.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It is time for the closing bell. We start things off on the positive side. Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith for Alabama as Bama crushed Georgia 41-24. The game really did change on the Waddle 90-yard reception for a touchdown. Jalen Waddle, 6 of 161 in the game with the tutty. Devontae Smith, 11 for 167 and 2 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, Najee Harris also had 152 yards and a touchdown. Mac Jones, the quarterback, threw for 417 yards, 4 touchdowns and a pick. But we give a stock up to the 2 game-changing wide receivers for Alabama, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. Next up, we stay with the wide receivers. We go to Clemson. If you didn't hear this weekend, Clemson beat Georgia Tech 73-7. So when it's a blowout, everyone sees the field. 17 players on Clemson caught a pass. 17 players had 33 receptions total for 500 yards and 7 receiving touchdowns. On the day, Trevor Lawrence, 4 quarterbacks, ended up playing for Clemson. Trevor Lawrence was obviously the main one, the Heisman hopeful, the Heisman favorite. 24-32, 404 yards, 5 touchdowns, and an interception. But 17 players had at least 1 reception. We give those 17 players a stock up. We go from Clemson to Tennessee. How about what the Tennessee Titans are doing? And if you want to look at it, you got the president in Derrick Henry, and then you got the vice president in Ryan Tannehill. And Shep may not like that because he's probably saying Ryan Tannehill should get all the credit. But that offense runs through Derrick Henry, and then Ryan Tannehill just makes big-time third-down throws and does a good job in the crunch time of games, getting it to overtime and then leading that team to a victory. Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill complement each other so nicely. And that's what we've seen going back to last year. Tannehill yesterday, 30 of 41, 4 touchdowns and a pick. Derrick Henry, my oh my. His longest run was 94 yards. He had 22 carries, 212 yards, two touchdowns. And, oh, yeah, if you didn't think that was impressive, two receptions for 52 yards. Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, everything's working for the 5-0 Tennessee Titans. They get to play the Pittsburgh Steelers next week. We give Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill a stock up. And just real quickly, I saw this. Adam Schefter. Steelers are now 5-0 for the second time in franchise history. The first time was 1978 when they started 7-0 en route to their first of two straight Super Bowl titles. And you get those two 5-0 teams next week. Steelers and Titans now set for a matchup in Week 7. Just to give you the Steelers side of it as well. They crushed the Browns yesterday. So you know what? Let's give the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially Minkah Fitzpatrick for that pick six, a stock up. It's weird. Today I rolled over at 6:30 in the morning. And what's the first thing you do? I wasn't ready to get up out of bed yet. Way too early for yours truly. 6:30. Yeah. Let's read the newspaper. And the equivalence of that reading the newspaper is checking Twitter. And I see this story from the New York Post right at the top of my Twitter feed. And I couldn't believe it. Mike Doc Emrick retiring. Now, Mike Doc Emrick is an absolute legend. You listen to a broadcast, he used 9,000 words for pass. He says the word pass once. He is maybe one of the, you know, one of the greatest broadcasters of all time. He really is. He could be right now the preeminent play-by-play man in sports, and that's saying a lot. You got Tirico, you got Al Michaels, you got Jim Nantz, you got Joe Buck. You go on and on and on. And I know I'm leaving out a bunch, so I'm going to stop with the list right there. But Doc Emrick, every time you watch him, whether he's calling a Pittsburgh Pirates game where he would do here and there, whether he's calling curling in the Olympics, or if he's calling hockey, he finds a way to get you just really engaged with the sport. And as great of a broadcaster as he is, he's a better human being. When I'm 17 years old, reached out to him to do an interview on my high school radio show. Without hesitation, he goes, usually we have to send these through NBC. I'm definitely coming on. And ever since, he would always come on my show whenever I asked. Talking about Stanley Cup final, he would come on. Playoff start, he would come on. During the pandemic, we had him on here on CBS Sports Radio. And unsolicited, at the end of the interview, when I was 17, I was doing the show out of my parents' basement at the time, on this website called Showview, I said to Doc, thanks for doing it, like generic wrap-up. He goes out of his way for 45 seconds to a minute to compliment me and then compliment the boiler company that was sponsoring my show when I was in high school. And ever since, I'd see him at Flyers games when I was living in Philadelphia. He'd bring up the interview he did with me when I was 17 years old. And he has a love for peanut butter. That's how he would keep his energy. Those multiple overtime games, they give him a peanut butter sandwich. No jelly, just peanut butter. So when I was in Philly 2-3 years ago, it was right around the holidays, I gave him two big jars of peanut butter as a little joke. But Doc Emrick, it's going to stink not having him. You know, a lot of times you could live without the play-by-play guys. Play-by-play guys do change over the years. It's a business that always change. There's going to be a big void in hockey next year, and it's not going to be having Mike Doc Emrick call those games. So, Doc, congratulations. Not a single person. I don't think there's a single person that could say a bad word about Mike Doc Emrick. And if you are someone that could say a bad word about him, I think it's because of you, not because of him. Stock up to a legend, and a big-time congratulations to Mike Doc Emrick. Got to give a stock up to the Dodgers. They're going to the World Series. They'll take on the Rays. They came back from down 3-1 in Game 7. The defense by Justin Turner was awesome. The robbing of the home run by Mookie Betts was sensational. And then Cody Bellinger had the home run that gave them the lead. Kike Hernandez did tie the game with the home run as well. Stock up to the Dodgers completing the 3-1 comeback. All right, we talked Alabama, Georgia. We gave you the positive side for Alabama. Let's get to the negative side for Georgia. Hudson Mason told us, the former Georgia quarterback 2 weeks ago, Georgia won't win a national championship this year because of Stetson Bennett. He threw three interceptions. All three led to scores. And after Jaylen Waddle had that 90-yard receiving touchdown, Betson, back-to-back interceptions, had a good start to this year, is a tremendous story, former walk-on. But in the biggest game of his career, in the biggest game of his life so far, three picks, stock down, Stetson Bennett.
Idiot, get back in there at once and sell.
UNC football, top 10 team in the country, going up against Florida State. Mike Norvell gets his first signature win with the Florida State program. UNC was so close, and then it was drop, drop, drop. The UNC wide receivers were like Oprah Winfrey during holiday time. You get a drop, you get a drop, you get a drop. Three straight drops towards the end. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Stock down to the Tar Heels. And then finally, I got to give a stock down to the Patriots offense. The Broncos didn't score a touchdown yesterday. You picked off Drew Lock twice late in the game. And the offense couldn't score 19 points to go win the game. They lose 18-12. And Cam teased you right at the end. They were moving the ball, moving the ball, moving the ball. And then give credit to Vic Fangio and his defense. They sent the pressure. Cam Newton was off the mark on N'Keal Harry. And the Patriots are now 2-3. You can't be losing to the Denver Broncos if you're the Pats, especially when they don't score a touchdown. And Brandon McManus, my former college confidant, as he was we took the same class together when he was a senior and I was a freshman. He would kick field goals and punt at Temple University. I always knew he was going to be a good kicker. When the Pats lost to the Broncos in the AFC Championship game in the Super Bowl 50 season, yeah, he was talking some smack to me. I'm surprised I haven't heard from him yet yesterday. Six field goals. Congrats to BMAC, but stock down to the Pats offense.
Idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
And that's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio on a very busy Monday. Let me give you my answer to the poll question. If it's not Seattle, who represents the NFC in the Super Bowl? Once again, 36.8% say the Bucks, 34.2% say the Packers, 21.9% say other, and 7% say the Saints. I guess the other teams are the Bears, the Rams, the 49ers. Neither of those three teams, though, I think are Super Bowl teams this year. I go with the Bucks. I think we're going to see a Tampa Bay-Seattle NFC title game. The Packers are right there as well. I'm not going to jump off ship after one loss, but it makes you wonder up against elite competition. Yes, the Packers did defeat the Saints this year, but they've been struggling. To not see the Packers show up after they had a 10-0 lead, that was a little bit concerning. And it's one of those games where Rodgers doesn't play his best. Not addressing some of those areas of concern in the offseason came back to bite them. So I look at the Bucs. Their defense is great, and their offense isn't even firing on all cylinders yet. So if that offense eventually fires on all cylinders, that Tampa Bay team is going to be one tough out in the playoffs. So if Seattle does not get there and is not the NFC champion, I think it will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, that's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'd like to thank you for listening and tweeting and interacting with the show today. Shep, fantastic job coming off the bench. Sixth man of the year replacing Ryan Hickey today. We had one technical difficulty with the computer crashing, but hey, we survive, we advance. That's what we do on the Zach Yelp Show. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have on a player from the Bears, a player from the Broncos. We'll get that confirmed for you tomorrow on who that will be from both those teams. And we have former NFL head coach Mike Martz as well. At the half, Cardinals 17, or Cardinals 20, and the Cowboys 3, and the Kansas City Chiefs did win by 9 over the Buffalo Bills. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. I'm Zach Yelp. I'm out. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.